Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me this week is my most amazing host of this podcast, one Greg Webster.
Hi.
How are we doing, Greg?
I'm doing all right. I didn't get to play this week because my wife got sick, but that just gave me more time to dojo at home while I handled my kids.
And how'd the dojoing go?
It went all right. I reached out to a couple other people to ask, you know, for advice and thoughts and, tactics for the Hulk. So I got a lot of time to think about him and combined it with all the games I've played with him. So it was fun. I got to play some Pokemon too. So everything was all right. How about you? Did you get any games in?
I got in a game where I got to play the Hulk and was wanted to get some practice in with that, and then I did a demo on Saturday, and then I was going to do another game in the afternoon with a coworker, and he didn't end up being able to make it, so I ended up getting two games in, so that wasn't too bad.
Nah.
Have you picked up your Black Panther box set yet?
No, for some reason, the Houston stores did not get Black Panther and Killmonger until today, so I will be getting mine up this weekend when we go in for week 3 of our initiation league.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So my only goal for Killmonger is I want to have him painted up by the time that those Vibranium heist leagues are available to stores. So I'm guessing I have like 3 months to get it painted.
Yeah, I mean, seems like that should be a pretty easy goal to hit, hopefully.
So you say that, Jay, but I haven't finished painting a single one of my models, so it might not be so easy.
Okay, well, I have faith in you then.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I should start posting on our Facebook channel to like chastise myself. Like, I'll post like, this week I'm painting this one model, and then I'll paint that and post updates for people. And then they can hurl insults at me while I don't do it.
That sounds appropriate.
Does it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good.
We can hold off on our... I guess you've probably already looked at the cards and stuff, though, for Black Panther and Killmonger and their action cards and stuff. So do you have any thoughts or hot takes?
Right now, I keep coming back to, like, I really like Killmonger with Cabal. I like the idea that Killmonger can just flank one side, or he can, like, hunt down the largest character. I really want to play Killmonger. And Black Panther, I think he's just a really solid Avenger. And I think he'll be really fun with Captain America pouncing for one, right? Yeah. Pounces two? Yeah, so he'll pounce for one and then get two attacks off. I'm not sure if I like the Wakandan affiliation, but, you know, we won't know until we see the last set. But I really do think, Killmonger and Cabal is what I am going to love playing more than anything else. Why? What do you have any thoughts about them so far?
I think the thing that I'm most excited about with Killmonger is his action card, Usurp the Throne.
Mm-hmm.
Like the opportunity to try to score two victory points seems like a pretty cool, pretty big thing to add to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm looking at and excited about.
I mean, I feel like it's almost with Killmonger, usurp the throne is so impressive, it might want to be in your eight at all time.
Right. It's so hard to pick eight.
I think that's the hardest part of list building.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to like, oh, okay, I'm going to take these characters, they're going to be the most useful for this scenario, then you're like, okay, do I take the cards that'll protect my characters? Do I take, you know, for certain characters, the cards are just so impressively good. Like, I feel like if you take Red Skull, Cosmic Invigoration is almost like, it feels like so amazing. Why wouldn't you take it? So there's a few of those, but I'm definitely having a hard time even narrowing it down to eight.
Right. Which, I mean, that's part of why when I have people who are like, man, I don't know about having, you know, these action cards in packs, and, you know, I don't want to feel forced to have to buy a box I don't want to get because there's cards in there that mm-hmm. I'm interested in. And meanwhile, I'm here like, man, I can't narrow down to eight as it is. Why the hell are you feeling forced to buy additional
stuff
because of that?
And I definitely do like how at the very least the cards are themed to the set they're in, if not just like they're dependent on the character, right? Like in MODOK, two of the cards require MODOK, and then we get Recalibration Matrix. In Hulk, two of them require Hulk, and then one of them is a Hulk themed, you know, smash card. So I think the people who are nervous about the cards being with models feel that way because of the way other games have used
right,
it,
yeah,
where it's like, I like X-Wing, but I'm gonna call them out on this. Like when there's a ship in X-Wing and a ton of people buy a $40 ship because they need a card,
right?
Or when there's a $15 ship and people need to buy two of them because you need the right like torpedoes that come with the ship. It's like that's where I think a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth from the idea. And I feel like the way this game makes it work is a lot more palatable. And the card, so far, none of the cards have been like auto buys. Even so far, you know, we don't have that many sets, but I think Recalibration Matrix is one of the better ones. And even that one, like it's so corner case sometimes that you don't gain a big tournament advantage from having it. It's not necessarily like an auto buy or an auto include. As much as I feel like I'm going to include it in most of my eight, personally.
Right. Real quick, a bit of personal news. I deleted my Facebook account, and it was somewhat abrupt because one of the things about myself is that I have a somewhat addictive personality, and so my Apple devices, at the end of each week, they give me a report of how many hours I use looking at my Apple device. And it was coming in around 7 or 8 hours a day on average, which is a lot. And I've tried doing things like, oh, I'm just going to look at it on my computer, not use my phone or whatever. But long story short, I decided that I need to do something drastic, like deleting my Facebook account. And so there's a lot of people who I've been really good friends with on Facebook. You know, please shoot me some emails, stuff like that. One of the main reasons why I bring this up is one of the unintended consequences of this is that the Discount Games Inc. Facebook page got deleted as well. And so that's been recreated under Brian, and you can go ahead and please like that again, and you'll be receiving, you know, sweet updates and stuff like that, but about stuff we have coming up.
That's good. And I think, you know, as someone who is also kind of getting, I get addicted by my technology sometimes too, so I get that. You're like a real life lawyer up, delete Facebook and hit the gym meme. So
far, the results have been dramatic because my screen use time is down 85%. So
God damn.
That's a lot.
Dude. Okay. Wow. So that's awesome. Man, that's just astounding.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But and the part that's funny about it as well is that like a lot of it was and granted, like I love this game, I love the community, but there was a lot of times I would be like in the groups and like every 20 minutes someone's asking, you know, when is Wave 2 releasing? And I'd be there responding. And mm-hmm. and there comes a point where, you know what, people will find out when the release date is without me there telling them it'll be okay. Yeah. And so...
Or people will just say, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
More than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, and that's basically where we're at. We don't know where it is, so...
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and... dive in on what we're going to be talking about today. So we're talking about the Hulk. And I think that it's safe to say that the Hulk is probably the most controversial in-game character in the game so far.
I think that's a fair thing to say. He's different. He, you know, he's a single model purchase. And I think before people had him, they were all talking about how broken he is. And then a lot of people got him and lost a lot of games with him and then said he's terrible. Just today I saw someone on Facebook, because I'm also addicted to Facebook. I just saw people posting about, the Hulk is like he needs a way to heal himself, or he needs to auto heal to show how tough he is. Like there's just a lot of widespread opinion about him, from being too good to being not good enough.
Right. This maybe makes sense for us to have in the other segment, but I'm gonna go ahead and pull it in here, because one of the common complaints I've heard is people basically saying that a big complaint that people have of the Hulk is that it doesn't feel like you're actually playing the Hulk. And so I guess I wanted to get kind of your background or take on this, because like I'll start by confessing, like, I don't really feel a strong connection to Hulk
mm-hmm.
as a character. And there's a lot of like, and I don't necessarily know beyond like a lot of the backstory that everyone knows. I don't necessarily know a ton about this character. Mm-hmm. But I guess the comic book arc that we read, it goes into this quite a bit about just how strong Hulk is, et cetera. But I mean, I guess that's one of the things that kind of surprised me is the power level of what the Hulk is supposed to be in the comics, because I had no idea that he's evidently as strong as he's supposed to be.
Well, I will say this. World War Hulk is probably the Hulk at the pure strongest he's ever been. And that's related to the story arc. But it's related to the comic that comes right before World War Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So
like my general impression of Hulk had been that he was basically your average everyday superhero or whatever, and mm-hmm. not really particularly noteworthy.
Okay. So I will say one thing is that if anybody is confused or interested in like the way that the Hulk is different a lot of times, like different writers handle him differently, and he changes a lot. And I mean, it's not just that they've been writing him for 60 years. Like, they've actually written the newest comic about the Hulk is called The Immortal Hulk. And it really goes into that there are a lot of different Hulks. The original Hulk was gray, and he was like clever, as well as being strong. And then he became green, and he seemed stupider and stronger and more of a monster. And then he would join the Avengers for a while, and then he would, you know, go on a rampage, and the Avengers would have to explain why, like, they had a monster who destroyed a city in their team. The Hulk varies a lot. It is the big thing that, like, in the comics is really, really important. Like, in the movies, he varies a little bit.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But like the Hulk in Endgame, where he's, you know, like Professor Hulk,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, the earlier, like, mindless rage monster that you have to calm down or trick. Like, that's kind of the variety that they've shown in the movies. But, like, you know, we're talking about one of the main, like, Hulk personalities that they've shown was, like, a gray mobster with, like, a Jersey accent.
Okay.
Like, that's one of the main versions of the Hulk. And, in fact, in Immortal Hulk, the series that's currently running, they've even referred to Worldbreaker Hulk and how they haven't seen him since this event. And I assume that can be because he's the most dangerous and strongest Hulk, and he just isn't coming out. But he's a really interesting character in that partly in this one, we can kind of tell that, like, Hulk and Banner are both pretty furious about what's going on. Especially at the end where it's like you see Banner is furious at the Avengers as well, right before he gets defeated. Yeah, there's so much, like, backstory to go into, but I really feel like just understanding that the Hulk changes a lot based on the scenario. I mean, one of my favorite Hulk comics had him living underwater for like a year, and he went up onto land and realized his lungs collapsed and he had been growing gills for the last year, and he had to like regrow lungs because of the pressure difference and everything too. And I'm just like, that's how weird the Hulk is. He's always going to like survive and be strong and dangerous.
I know you said that he was one of the characters that you liked quite a bit as a kid.
Oh yeah.
But I remember watching some of his old show when I was a kid. But in a lot of ways, he kind of seems like, at least the versions that I'm most familiar with, kind of like a bad Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde knockoff.
You know, it's interesting. Because, again, it depends a lot on the writer who's writing it. But I've seen some comics where, like, Bruce Banner is the more dangerous of the two, because Bruce Banner, like, is basically a mad scientist, and the Hulk is just, you know, a big, strong, angry guy.
Uh-huh.
But he does kind of have that, where he's turning into a monster, and, you know, Bruce Banner doesn't want to be a monster, but the Hulk is just rage incarnate. I don't know. I don't know why so many people love the Hulk. Like, I love him. I thought I used to collect comics where the Hulk fought other heroes, I remember. So I had, like, a Silver Surfer versus the Hulk and Spider-Man fighting the Hulk. And, like, those were my favorite comics to have.
So, I guess to bring this back around, do you feel like they managed to capture the essence of the Hulk in game? And, you know, and a lot of the characters that we play in this game, it actually in a lot of ways does feel like you're playing that superhero. And so do you think that they succeeded in that with the Hulk?
To me, like I said, the Hulk is different all the time, right? I feel like this is the old Hulk. This is the Hulk from the original Avengers. This is you know, the Hulk that could fight, you know, the Thor, but if the entire Avengers teams up against him, they're going to beat him and make him run away. He is definitely not as strong as I think Worldbreaker Hulk would be from World War Hulk. He is not as strong as, you know, the current Immortal Hulk, who just, he'll die and then get back up. But he is like a classic, you know, 80s and 90s Hulk, where he'll fight the Silver Surfer and then wander off when he gets tired or angry or confused. I do think so. I do think he feels like the Hulk. I think the one reason people think he doesn't feel like the Hulk is that 20 stamina defense 2 is actually not as survivable as you think it is. And so people misplay him and then lose him too quickly. And then they feel like he's kind of wimpy, which I don't agree with, but...
I mean, I think that a lot of the time when people are complaining about this, and when I say this, people usually protest and say that I'm wrong. when I say this, but I think that in general, you can usually find a better way to spend 6 points than spend it on the Hulk. And I think that people are disappointed that they think that the Hulk should be a very good use of 6 points, which, you know, I can't necessarily tell them that they're wrong for thinking that, but, you know, I guess I don't have the emotional connection to Hulk that evidently a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. And B, I also have played enough miniature games that, you know, I'm basically used to, there's going to be models that are really good for their points. There's going to be some that aren't quite as good. There's going to be some that are average. And I don't think that that's a design failure for that to be the case. That's just, unless you want to play chess or Go, that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it doesn't bother me that when that happens in a game. But I think that it does bother some people that they feel like it happened to Hulk.
Yeah. On that note, Jay, I have an opinion about that, because we were talking about how the Hulk plus Captain America is 10 points.
Right, yeah.
And currently most scenarios, well, the scenarios average out to 17 points, right?
Right.
So you want to try to ideally build a 17 point team to see, and then you can kind of vary it around. And something I was thinking about is that right now you can kind of only build a 4-character team with Hulk. There's no mm-hmm. way to build a 5-character team. To build a 5-character team with the Hulk, we would need one more 2-point character. So, for example, Hulk plus Captain America plus Iron Man for 3 plus Black Widow for 2 puts us at 15 points.
And you can also, so basically you have two options.
Yeah.
Option one is you play Alien Ship Crashes in Downtown for a 20-point scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Option two, you don't play with a leader. And option two, I think, is the worst idea possible. So you're correct. In general, you're going to be playing a 4-point list.
A 4-character list.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that as soon as we get a second 2-character, I would like Hulk in a 5-character team a lot more. It gives you a lot more options to have 5 characters to activate instead of 4. And it will also kind of make what I think Hulk is good at better if you have more characters. Because in my mind, Hulk is best if you flank left or right with him and you don't go down the middle, because you want to avoid having too many characters that can gang up on him. And if Hulk sits on one of the objectives and just scores points all the time, like, that might not be the best use for him. But if your opponents are going to come and take Hulk off, it means that it's easier to get them in a beam, thunderclap. And it means that
I think I like Thunderslap better.
Thunderslap, yeah. And then, but it also means, like, if you have 4 other characters, it means that your opponent's going to have to give up other scenarios in order to come deal with the Hulk. And I think that's the best use of the Hulk, is to put your opponents in a situation where they're like, oh man, I really have to go stop the Hulk from just scoring every single turn until my opponent wins. Or, oh no, the Hulk has, you know, the Hulk has taken a scenario lead from me. And I think we can talk more about it later, but I think if you run the Hulk in the middle of the board, he's probably going to be less useful.
Well, to close out our gameplay section, let me do a shout out to Patrick Dunford.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking some strategy with him, and one of the strategies that he tried out that I think is one of the potentially a really good way to play the Hulk with a 4-man unit is he played Captain America, the Hulk, Iron Man, and Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And took the Age of Ultron card, and basically he was playing, you know, these set of characters that are high output, difficult to kill. I mean, I guess Captain America isn't necessarily high output, but he's making it so that the other ones stay alive longer potentially, or basically models where you kind of have to deal with them, even though a lot of times you would prefer to potentially just ignore them. Mm-hmm. And he's had some really good success with it. Another thing that is, I talked a little bit about this with you as well in our chat, but one of the things that Pat said and that a few other people have said is that, you know, intuitively, it makes sense that five player teams are stronger, but I think there's potentially some situations, like in this example of this team, where a four-man team could potentially be still really good. And one of the reasons why is because there's a lot of times where even if you were going second, you'll get the first activation in round two or round three. And a lot of times that means that you're going to be able to daze or knock out your opponent, some of their characters, before they ever get a chance to activate them that round. And that a lot of times going first in round can be a really big advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that's one potential way to try to get value out of playing Hulk.
No, I definitely want to try that list out. Like I said, I didn't get to play this weekend, but that was what I was going to play mostly to try
because
you told me about it. And I was like, ooh, let's go. But I definitely, I struggle with four people teams. I will say that. And that's maybe a personal problem. And but I also, my locals and I were also all kind of saying, we don't know if it's going to be worth it to try a four person team just yet.
Right.
And I do think more flexibility would make the Hulk better because he's such a high threat. So once we have some more, like, I don't know, once we have more other 6 points to compare him to as well, maybe we'll start to see more value out of him. So if you're feeling like, you know, the Hulk is not playable right now, give him a shot with these lists, because I really do think he's fine. I'm not willing to say he's amazing. I definitely think he can get a ton of work done, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. If anything, it's how I'm playing him or how we're playing him, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do think that there is a lot of room out there for people to explore the game. And so I think that doing some out-of-the-box thinking like that is something that I definitely recommend.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we go ahead and let's start talking about our comic book book club. And so the comic that we selected this time was
World War Hulk.
World War Hulk, yeah. So why don't you go ahead and talk to us some about this.
Yeah, so World War Hulk was actually picked by our Facebook group again. If you read along with our last episode, it is right before MODOK 11, because MODOK 11 has a little call out to this. But basically, this is a sequel to another really popular Hulk comic called Planet Hulk, and it ties very closely in. So in Planet Hulk, there is an Illuminati of superheroes who have come together to solve problems that the, like, larger community wouldn't want to deal with, or maybe they have to make, like, morally gray choices. And so the Illuminati votes to shoot the Hulk to an alien planet, and their goal is to go to an alien planet where there's no intelligent life and the Hulk can live peacefully and, you know, be the Hulk and not threaten humanity every year or two. And so they vote on it, and it's, I think, Namor votes against it, and Professor X isn't there. But this is important because these are the characters that Hulk is coming to Earth to get revenge on. So they shoot Hulk into space. The rocket goes, the rocket gets diverted, and he gets sent to basically a gladiator garbage planet, which, if you've seen Thor Ragnarok, that's where he gets sent. So in this planet, he becomes a gladiator, takes over, becomes the leader of the planet. He unites all the tribes. He saves the planet from all its problems. And at the end of the planet, he has married this really amazing, like, druid of the planet. She's pregnant. And then the spaceship that they sent Hulk in blows up, destroys the entire planet, and Hulk and his soldiers and his warbound head to Earth to get revenge. So this comic starts with Hulk coming back towards Earth. They stop at the moon, and he apparently just easily defeats Black Bolt. Black Bolt is the king of the Inhumans, who are... Each of them should be roughly the power level of any of the strongest X-Men, and some of them are, like, up there at, you know, they're just ridiculously strong. So Black Bolt is supposed to be one of the strongest heroes on Earth, and Hulk easily defeats him and blows chunks into the moon while he does it. They come to Earth, and they just start... Hulk just defeats everybody. It's just one after the other. Iron Man comes down with his Hulk Buster, and Hulk just smack, 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 beats him. He like easily defeats like Mr. Fantastic and the Fantastic Four. Doctor Strange and summons a demon to fight him.
That was a pretty cool scene.
It was really cool. Like, so Doctor Strange is like barely controlling this demon that he's possessed by, and like Doctor Strange can't control his anger, and Hulk, bam, 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 Hulk defeats him.
So I guess this gets back to, I guess what I was talking about before, but like it just kind of surprised me or baffled me or something that like, okay, so he's this guy who gets exposed to gamma radiation and, you know, becomes Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde basically. But like, I guess I don't know enough of his origin story or what's going on as to why he's actually this powerful. And yes, I understand that, you know, his strength is tied to his anger and he's super angry right now, but that just seems kind of strange to me.
Oh, so there was, I'm sorry, I did gloss over it. It's never like explicitly stated in this comic, but it's talked about later. In Planet Hulk, Hulk is really weak at the beginning, and it's because everyone on this planet he's on is like, one, ridiculously strong, but two, the like radiation on the planet is weakening him. And while he's on Sakaar, he's absorbing the radiation the whole time and just becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. Which is one of the reasons when he leaves, he's got all this new radiation, and that's one of the reasons he's so much more powerful. But yeah, one of the things with the Hulk is he's just constantly absorbing like radiation. And he's like mutating and changing and becoming stronger. It's also, some stories say that's why he has all these different personalities, is related to how much radiation he absorbs. And there is like a wrinkle where like Bruce Banner is the one who's been this angry, and the Hulk is his expression. So like Bruce Banner, it's been established that like Bruce Banner had a really abusive father who was just a real sadist, and like Bruce learned to like just suppress everything and act normal, but in reality he's as angry as the Hulk is. And again, based on the writer, it's different, but I've always liked that angle.
So, and I'm not sure if you said this already, but one of the reasons why Hulk is so angry in this is that, first of all, he's angry that the heroes of Earth sent him away from Earth to protect Earth, and then B, he believes that the heroes of Earth like killed his wife and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, yeah. He says that Black Bolt, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, and Mr. Fantastic, the ship that they sent him on tried to blow up to kill him, and that, you know, killed his wife, killed all of the people that were left on Sakaar. Yeah. So it's a revenge story for the people, right, for Hulk and his team. And, you know, as it goes on, he makes a gladiator arena at Madison Square Garden. And he's trying to get the heroes to like fight to the death, just like he was forced to fight to the death on Sakaar. And they have like an alien monster that Hulk fought. And he, you know, the whole time kind of Hulk and his people are like, this is for justice. Like, we're not getting revenge. It's because you're murderers. And it kind of shows, you know, he allows some of the citizens of New York to come in and like talk about how the heroes have wronged them. I really liked the one who's like, Doctor Strange summoned a demon and he's evil. That was really funny. But, you know, this goes on until the Sentry comes in. And basically the Sentry and Hulk have an all-out battle that is completely destroying the city. And they just keep escalating the, like, attacks on each other until eventually Sentry and Hulk both kind of transform into their human forms. And the Sentry's human form, Robert Reynolds, passes out, leaving Bruce Banner. And then this is when we find out that the ship actually blew up because one of Hulk's teammates sabotaged the ship to explode because he needed the Hulk to stay angry and to stay fighting. And the Hulk, like, the Hulk comes back from Bruce Banner. And basically they tell, you know, Tony Stark to hit them with this laser satellite attack they've been setting up because he's worried about what he's going to do. And he's like just shooting radiation everywhere. Like, the Hulk cannot control himself. So, the end of the story is Bruce Banner has been locked up in a super coffin and they're storing him away. So this is a lot of people's, like, choice. I thought it was really cool because it shows the Hulk fighting a lot of the most powerful heroes and defeating them. It was very, like, the premise is, even though the Hulk is this, you know, angry murder machine, it does set it up that, you know, he's just trying to get vengeance or justice, whatever.
Yeah, it was sort of funny when it was the Hulk and the Sentry fighting each other in New York. Mm-hmm. It felt a little bit like watching a Zack Snyder Superman movie.
Sentry is basically Superman. He's probably more powerful if we had to, like, rank them, but that's basically what he does. Sentry's a weird hero, because you've, like, Jay, you've probably never heard of him.
No,
Because he's a newer character from the 90s or early 2000s. But his story was that he's actually the first superhero and they made everybody forget about him. I enjoyed it a lot and I can't tell you more. It would spoil the story, but it's kind of a mystery about, like, why did that happen? Why did everybody forget about him? So, the story has a lot of cool angles. Like, it uses the Sentry to explain why the Hulk is angry sometimes and calm other times. It turns out every time the Hulk was calm, it's because the Sentry was with him, and the Sentry emits radiation that makes his skin feel better and it calms him down. There was a bit about how the Sentry is a photo of the Sentry got Peter Parker the Pulitzer Prize. So there's this scene where Peter Parker is digging in his closet and he finds he has a Pulitzer Prize he forgot about because everyone had to forget about the Sentry. So there were a lot of really cool little moments. The Sentry is a really interesting character. Mm. And he is one that Will Schick said he would like to figure out a way to put him in the game. So maybe we'll get the Sentry at, like, threat level 8 or something.
It was kind of interesting, like, the scenes where with, like, Iron Man interacting with the Sentry and them talking about the Sentry. And I think maybe the president talking about the Sentry away where he's not there, and, like, them talking about all the various mental issues that he has that accompany him as a character. And that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a spoiler knowing that, but yeah, the Sentry is not a mentally balanced character. He has a lot of, like, struggles with schizophrenia, and in this comic they gave him agoraphobia, fear of going outside, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think any of the other comics have him with agoraphobia, but maybe I missed that. But again, he's an interesting character because he's, like, a god level hero who has, like, severe mental struggles that make him unreliable.
So I realized that the it was our listeners who picked this arc, but we could have vetoed it if we wanted to. So why did we feel like this was a good story arc to go with?
Part of it might be personal bias. This came out when I was in college and working in comic shops. And so I read World War Hulk as it was coming out, and I read all the tie-in comics, and I read, you know, I read all the side stories. And I did think it was good. I really enjoyed how, you know, the Hulk has always been one of the most, you know, whether or not you like it, Jay, the Hulk has always been one of the bigger Marvel heroes. And this was a big deal. Planet Hulk was extremely popular, and this sequel series, I would say Planet Hulk was maybe a better series. Planet Hulk was 12 issues and wouldn't be a great one for us to read in a week for the podcast. And I think this one's a lot more accessible because it's a lot more like Hulk's going to punch the Inhumans, and Hulk's going to just beat up Reed Richards. I forgot what was in the main comic and what was a side comic, because I thought he was going to beat up the X-Men, because that was one of the side stories. Was he basically goes to the X mansion and they just keep throwing X-Men at him, and he just easily defeats them all. And then he finds out about how there's very few mutants left, and he feels bad for them and leaves. And that's like literally how that ends. And I thought it was really like messed up and anticlimactic that he's like, oh, you guys have gone through a lot, I'm going to go destroy New York now. But yeah, no, I really liked it. And it had a lot of like cool things that happened afterwards. So the Incredible Hulk comic was rebranded to the Incredible Hercules. and it started starring Hercules instead of the Hulk. The writer of the Planet Hulk and World War Hulk has actually become one of the more successful and popular Marvel writers, Greg Pak. And Greg Pak has this really good, skill of writing, writing stories that can switch between really, really serious and then really optimistic and fun. And so like Incredible Hercules is actually a really good series. And it introduces a lot of really cool Marvel characters that have stuck around. Like he introduces a character who is a huge fan of the Hulk, and he's one of the smartest people on Earth. And he eventually gets Hulk powers and becomes like a new Hulk. There's just a lot of really high quality stuff in here. Even if it was more, this is a simple story, but it has a lot of like influence in later Marvel comics.
So we have a lot more to go over with both the story arc and the character, but we will do that in our bonus episode. So I don't know that we've picked what character or comic book arc we're gonna be doing next. Is that correct?
I thought we were doing Black Panther. Did we not pick that?
Okay, cool. So do you know what Black Panther arc is going to be?
Nope.
Okay, well, we will post on social media.
Wait a minute, Jay. Didn't we want to do the Kote story?
I mean, I do want to do one that is from that author that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
we might actually want to wait a smidge on Black Panther as well, because we still have some of the core box, I believe.
Oh yeah, but just character. Come on, the core box isn't good, Jay. We need to get to Black Panther and Killmonger. Come on.
we will.
We'll make that decision later.
Yeah,
sounds good.
All right. So check out the social medias or places like that, and we'll do a post on what to read for next week. And thank you again to our Patreon supporters who listen. We appreciate it. You guys can gain access to our episodes a week early, and you also get to listen to the bonus episode. So thank you again. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.